empowerment, and education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary, everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Welcome, welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright, and this week we're talking about essential oils and gardening. I'm so excited for this topic. I know a lot of you out there are home gardeners or know someone who's a home gardener who are looking for really effective alternatives to chemicals, pesticides, and all the junk that we want to keep out of our home gardens. Well, essential oils are one of those amazing solutions. And I've got author Jackie Charlton here to talk us through some of those solutions. Before we get to the show, allow me to share my favorite oil from this week. This week, I have a newfound love for blue tansy oil. I've been adding quite a significant amount to my oil washing routine that I do to my face now about once a day. I have a mixture of sunflower oil, castor oil, and a few other carrier oils, and I've added geranium and blue tansy oil to that mixture, applying that to my face, and then using a really hot washcloth to steam that off and sort of rub that in. It's been fabulous. I love it. I feel like my skin is definitely clearing out and getting a bit of a glow to it that used to not be there thanks to that blue tansy and geranium too, but the blue tansy, just there's a smell to it that I love. It's sort of earthy, peaceful, and of course, it's got that beautiful blue color to it as well. And if you want more information about oil cleansing is the technique for it, you can Google oil cleansing technique. It's sort of an alternative to face washing, and I prefer it. I think it feels a little bit more relaxing and healthy for my skin. So that's oil cleansing. Now let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. This week, our recipe comes from listener Christina Dietrich, who's on Instagram at Essentially His. The recipe name is DIY So Fresh and So Clean Dry Shampoo. All right, to make this So Fresh and So Clean dry shampoo, you'll need 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 2 tablespoons of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of cacao powder if you have darker hair, and then 3 to 4 drops each of lavender, cedarwood, and rosemary essential oil. Mix together in a bowl and put in a small jar. To apply it, she puts about a dime or nickel size in her palm, rubs the hands together, and runs it in her scalp and hair as needed. Awesome. Thank you so much, Christina. I can't wait to try that out. Everyone needs a good dry shampoo. That's what I say. And congratulations to last month's DIY dugout winner, Mary Dorsey from Knoxville, Tennessee, for submitting her recipe called Christmas Joy. Once a month, we select a random winner out of everyone who's ever submitted a recipe to us for the DIY dugout. The winner receives a bottle of orange oil, as well as our ebook, Essential Oil Recipes for a Chemical-Free Home. You can enter to win anytime by emailing us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com with your original essential oil-based DIY recipe. Again, that's DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. And now on to the show.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life. And it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of the life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
I'm here with Jackie Tarleton, whose passion for gardening began at a young age, relishing the beauty of her grandmother's flower gardens and her dad's vegetable gardens. She has been a master gardener in Arkansas for more than 13 years. Her love for both organic gardening and natural wellness sparked her interest for using essential oils in the garden. Her book, Essentially Grown, Natural Gardening with Essential Oils, is a culmination of what she has learned about using essential oils in the garden. I can't wait to dive into your book today, Jackie. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's get some context here about why this subject of natural gardening is even important. What concerns should we be aware of about the way that plants in our country are being grown?
Well, now with conventional gardening, it's actually turned into what some people call factory gardening or maybe industrial agriculture. Their main goals in many of the farms now are to maximize yield, you know, whatever it takes to, you know, grow the biggest crops, the most crops, the biggest animals, that sort of thing. And the big problem with that in these farms, they're using a lot of chemicals. They use a lot of pesticides, herbicides, synthetic fertilizers, fossil fuels even are in some of the fertilizers they use. And they've started, you know, genetically modifying the organisms. So a lot of the seeds have actually are grown now with pesticides and all basically built into the seeds. And one of the main issues with our chemical pesticides And I know we've seen a lot about this in the news, but it's been linked to cancer, to allergies, birth defects, a lot of other disorders. And a lot of people now are having more issues with allergies, what they're assuming are allergies to the food that they weren't allergic to before. But actually what they're developing allergies to are these toxins that are in our food and on the food that we're purchasing from the grocery stores.
Well, Jackie, tell us about your gardens at home and the gardens that you've worked in. What are some of the most common pest and disease and weed issues that you come across? And then how do you combat those naturally?
Well, in my garden, I actually raise my vegetables and things that I raise. I do in square foot gardening, or, well, I use raised beds. And in some cases, I use square foot gardening that actually allows you to, you can grow more vegetables in a small area, but I don't have a huge area that I plant in. And that also helps with companion planting, that I can plant, you know, say basil near my tomatoes and that sort of thing. So some of the main issues I've actually had have come from aphids, and I like to plant squash and different types of melons. And so I'll have issues sometimes with the stink bugs or squash beetles, as they call them, and some of the smaller insects. Now, I have had issues too with rabbits and deer and squirrel, but I usually try to, I've got most of them protected from the deer. Now, I do plant pear trees, and most of those pears are eaten by the deer, but that's fine with me. I get what I need, and then I let them have what they need. So,
yeah. Well, tell us about essential oils and what functions they can perform for us in the garden.
Well, with essential oils, you know, basically they're the life force of the plant. And so within the plant, they help protect it, you know, from pests, diseases, and other environmental conditions. So we can use these same oils that are taken from these plants and help protect them. We can use the essential oils to chase away a lot of harmful garden pests. We can protect them against disease. We can use it to improve the health and growth of the plants. The essential oils can also be used to attract pollinators and beneficial insects. I mentioned earlier about trying to companion gardening. When you do have a small area, or maybe you grow your plants in pots, you can use the essential oils as a companion without having to plant the plant nearby. Like I mentioned with basil, you can add some basil to some water and water that plant with it, and they get the same benefit as having the basil planted there.
Oh, so just having the essential oil in the soil with that plant can sort of protect it like a companion plant would.
That's right. It works the same way. And actually, lavender has been shown that it can actually improve the fertility of the soil just using some lavender when you water, and you can place it on the plant, or you can place it in the soil. But it's good with that.
Well, what kind of improvements have they seen with putting lavender in the soils?
It just gives the plant a little more vigor. It grows a little bigger. It just makes it a healthier plant.
And now paint a picture for us. So, you know, about how much essential oil might you put in your watering can if you were to water a potted plant or something?
I usually put about 8 to 10 drops. If you're using it like for companion planting or just to increase the fertility, you could probably put a little less than that, but I'll just add it to a watering can and just let, you know, several drops mm-hmm. fall into it, and then just use it to water. Now, if you're using it to treat for pest control, you'll need it a little stronger. I usually place 8 to 10 drops in a gallon to start out with. If I continue to have problems, I increase it, you know, a little. Essential oils are, you know, pretty strong, so you don't want to overdo it.
Yeah. And so what have you used for pest control? And I assume that you spray that on your plants?
I do. For pest control, as I said, I put 8 to 10 drops in a gallon. You can put it in a sprayer or sprayer is usually easier to work with.
Is that like something that you pump and then it automatically sprays?
Right.
Okay, that's good, because I remember I've used hand pumps around my house, and after a couple rooms, your wrist gets really
that's
tired.
Right. Yeah, they do. But you can use that, or there's some attachments you can put on your water hose that you can actually put the drops in the sprayer, and then it mixes with the water for you.
Oh, very cool.
And you just kind of have to look at the instructions on, you know, how strong you're wanting the solution to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I use a lot of peppermint in the garden for pest control. Peppermint and spearmint, most of your mints work real well. I can use that, you know, against ants and spiders inside the home. It works well for aphids, beetles, the little caterpillars that you can get on your cabbage, broccoli, especially this time of the year. And it works pretty well on your spider mites and squash bugs as well. But there's, in my book, I have a fairly long list that you can use as a reference as to what pest you're looking at, and it recommends some different oils to use.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I'm back with Jackie Tarleton. We're talking about her book, Essentially Grown: Natural Gardening with Essential Oils. So, Jackie, I know you have so many amazing tips in your book about using essential oils in the garden. What's just a few more of your favorite oily tips for gardeners?
Well, one of the problems that you'll have in your garden is disease. And a lot of those are caused by the pest that actually get in your garden. And also, if you're not good at weeding your garden, these pests will find shelter in those weeds, and then they spread disease in the garden. But there's a couple of things that work real well in the garden for disease, which are oregano, tea tree, and actually the blend that Young Living has, it's called Thieves. It's actually a blend of clove, lemon, cinnamon bark, rosemary, and eucalyptus.
Yeah, it sounds like your plants and veggies and herbs would love that. About how often do you find yourself spraying or adding these oils to the soil in your gardens to be effective?
About once a week is good. If you've actually got a large problem, you can spray them maybe every 3 or 4 days. You have to be careful, you know, if it's very hot, that you don't spray it in the sun. So you do it early in the morning or late in the afternoon. But they've worked real well for me. A good weed killer that I use includes white vinegar with a little bit of Castile soap. And then cinnamon bark I've had good luck with. You can also add some other oils like pine or oregano, something like that. But it's effective against most weeds. Now, if they've got a taproot, they're real deep, it may take several applications, but it will usually do the job. Also, if you're having problems with bees not coming into your garden, you can use lavender or Roman chamomile, something like that, to attract the bees and butterflies. With those, you can actually, there's a different application method you could use for that too, where you can put it cloth strips or strings that you can hang around in the garden, and it'll draw them in. So that's effective there. I've mentioned the companion gardening. Another thing I mentioned basil, using it with companion gardening on your tomatoes. But basil also works well with asparagus, broccoli, your roses, even petunias. They grow well around basil, so you can actually use the oil with the basil in it to help those plants.
I love all these tips. I love how well essential oils and these plants can work together and support each other and protect each other to all thrive and grow. It's so beautiful.
Thank you. Yes, that's kind of how I got into this, because I love gardening and I thought, well, essential oils come from the plants. So how can I use those essential oils to help the same plants that they're coming from? So in doing research, I found a lot of interesting information.
Yeah, that's really great. I'm curious, from a gardener's perspective, I imagine that you have done some research into different essential oil companies and the way that those oils are distilled, but more importantly, how the plants are grown before they're harvested for distilling as well. What should consumers and people looking at different essential oil brands and bottles be looking for, and questions they should be asking about where their oils are coming from?
Well, I use the Young Living oils, as I mentioned. I have done research on this company, and I've had the privilege of visiting their farm in Mona, Utah, the Whispering Springs farm, where they grow lavender, among other things. And it's a beautiful farm there in Utah with the mountains surrounding it. And one thing I like about Young Living is that they own their own farms. And the farms that maybe they don't independently own, they have partnered with others, or they've set up co-op farms. And they have some pretty strict controls as far as how the plants can be grown at these gardens. Young Living operates with, they have this proprietary process that they use called seed to seal. This actually controls pretty much every step of production when they're making their oil products. But they control the seed sourcing. You know, they look for the healthiest, best seeds, maybe from the plants that they've grown there on the farm, that they take the seeds from those. They control, you know, how they're cultivated, distilled. They do a lot of testing on these products to make sure they're high quality, that there's no chemical contamination of any kind. And they only use high-grade non-GMO seeds. They'll never use the genetically modified seeds. They locate their farms on pure land that's not been chemically treated in the past. And they have them away from industries and large cities where there's a lot of pollutants. And also they control their water sources. Their water sources are mainly natural springs, or they'll collect snow melt that comes from the mountains. They don't use municipal water systems that may be contaminated. They also recycle all their plant material on their farms. When they've distilled oil from, say, their lavender plants, they will take these materials and they will mulch them. They'll add them to compost piles that they have, along with animal manures, leaves, grass, and other clippings from the farms. And another thing I like about the Young Living farms is, as I mentioned there, they're only using organic fertilizers. They also, a lot of them have earthworm, they'll have worm houses. And in these houses, they'll grow or reproduce beneficial earthworms that they'll place in the gardens. They collect the castings and the liquid from these worms, and they use it as a fertilizer. They don't use herbicides to control the weeds. They actually maintain them by hoeing and hand pulling. If there is a need to spray a field that maybe has gotten some weeds have blown in or come in, they'll use a natural herbicide that has essential oils in it. And also, they also hand spray essential oils to help take care of issues with pests. At the Whispering Springs farm, they actually have areas where they plant plants that will attract your natural pollinators, that'll bring in your bees and your butterflies and your predator insects that help control the harmful pest. They don't use any chemical herbicides, pesticides, or fertilizers. They only depend on organic methods.
They've got quite a system going on there, and they can't. I know Gary Young has been called quite the control freak in his day, for sure,
right,
when it comes to their farms, but they're really not messing around. And yeah, anyone can go visit their farms throughout the world, really. I think the Mona, Utah farm is probably one of the most well-known and most visited. It's a really fun place to go if anyone's looking for a good road trip out there. Well, thanks for your perspective, Jackie. That's really really great to hear, especially from a gardener's perspective, sort of what you've learned. And thank you for all the amazing tips about using essential oils in the garden. I know all the gardeners out there are going to love your book. So thank you again for that. Before you go, we always like to ask our guests these closing questions. And the first is, just give us a glimpse into some of your daily self-care practices. I'm sure as a gardener, being a gardener itself is probably one of the healthiest things that anyone can do. So anything on top of that you make sure you do every day to stay well?
The gardening does help because it does provide some exercise and fresh air. Now, one of the first things I do when I get up in the morning usually is to drink a cup of warm water with lemon in it. I think that kind of helps give my digestive system a boost. So I like doing that. I also drink the Ningxia Red product that Young Living offers, and I take different vitamins and supplements. One of the, like I say, as far as getting in the garden, I work a corporate job, so I'm in an office 8 hours a day. So that's one way that I can kind of get over the stress of the day is I can go outside and play in my garden a little bit, whether it's pulling a few weeds or, you know, cutting a few flowers. That's always something that helps me each day. So
yeah. Well, I love that the fact that you work 8 hours a day most days kind of gives us no excuse for not starting a garden, right? If you can do it, we can all do it.
That's right. You can start small. It doesn't matter. You can put it in if you got an old boot, you can plant something in that boot. You can buy a pot, plant a tomato, and have tomatoes for months.
Love it.
So it's easy.
Love that. Well, finally, Jackie, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
Well, probably the one thing that I try to do, and I think it would help a lot of people, as I spoke about how our vegetables and things we buy in the grocery store are treated with chemicals a lot of times, and we have to be careful with that. I'd say one of the big things people should get rid of is the boxed meals and the overprocessed foods in their homes. I mean, stick to healthier choices, your fresh fruits and vegetables, lean protein, and maybe even grow some of your own food. I think, you know, it's easy. It doesn't take up much space to do it. And I think we'd all be healthier if we could control the food that we put inside our bodies.
Yep. We are the gatekeepers. I love that.
That's right.
Jackie, how can people find your book and connect with you further?
My book can be found on growinghealthyhomes.com. They have my book as well as a few other products that I've done. I do have a Facebook page. You can find me under Jackie Tarleton, Essentially Grown. I believe it's how it's listed. I'm not real good at keeping that updated. I do have plans to, but I welcome anybody to seek me out and ask questions, and I'd love to help you in any way that I can.
Great. Thank you so much, Jackie. It's been a real pleasure. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom here with us on the Essential Oil Revolution.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode all about essential oils for emotional healing like you've never heard it before, I promise. We're going to learn about neroli, bergamot, sweet marjoram oil. So many great tips. I'm really excited for you to hear it. Make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss an episode when they're released. Next week, we'll have our new episode, and then we'll be taking 2 weeks off after that. So in the meantime, promise me you will take great care of yourself. Keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.